All right, welcome to episode 2 of the Gamblers Podcast, Dark Side of Gambling, my personal addiction story. In this episode, we're gonna talk about where it really began, probably the root cause of kind of how it started for me and where it took me down a path that I wasn't really prepared to handle. So let's get into it. You know, when I was a kid, my first introduction to gambling was seeing my brother at the time placing wagers through a bookie. So I would say probably somewhere in the middle to late 1990s, before internet kind of was the breeding ground for overseas or offshore betting and things like that, you would traditionally call a bookie. And so at that time, you know, what I remember the most from those years was ultimately seeing him very happy, you know, in many cases when he would win money, and we would talk about all the things that we would buy, meaning, you know, he wanted to get satellite TV, all these things for the house. And at that time, you know, you may or may not have had cable. Things were not as affordable for us to have all of the things that we would have wanted. So talking about getting things that we couldn't afford at the time made it pretty, you know, cool, I guess I would say, you know, from a kid's point of view, when you see that, hey, he just put some money down, he made some decisions that resulted in us getting some additional money, some money that we could use towards things that we're going to enjoy. So I remember being very happy. I remember those moments. I also remember the same time frame, none of those things happening. You know, none of the things we talked about buying were bought. None of the things that we talked about doing were done. All I remember is it getting to a point where his gambling got out of hand. And the people who he owed money to ultimately were not willing to let it go the way maybe, let's say, an online casino, you know, would take a loss. Maybe maybe they might work something out with you depending on the type of casino, if it's through a bookie or if it's through an offshore, obviously that you're going to have to put the money up front. But if you're betting through a bookie and you're betting on some type of credit, you eventually have to pay that back. And those particular days, examples were made in different ways to remind, you know, my brother and us that payment needed to get made. So you would think at that age, I would have understood that, hey, this is not something that you want to continue doing. But I didn't see much of a change. I didn't see any sense of urgency that, you know, created a situation where maybe a conversation needed to have been had with me and let me know, hey, this is what happened. This is the repercussions. I kind of had to piece things together in my mind at the time that I didn't really understand. I didn't understand how crazy it really was, what was going on. So, you know, years go by from kind of the time frame in which my brother probably stopped actively gambling and stopped kind of being right in front of me to where I was getting to the age of 18. And so in California, you know, when you're 18 years old, or, and probably in some of the states as well, you can gamble at certain casinos, you know. And so my first introduction was, you know, playing some table games and really taking $5 from a blackjack table, turning it into, I think, something like $60. And when I did that, it changed our evening. It took our evening from, hey, you know, we're going to basically have no money to spend to, you know, here's some money towards having a great night, you know, whatever we were planning on doing. It was money towards a free night. And it almost seemed like an insane investment. Why am I not doing this more often? So, you know, that led me to beginning to figure out what other forms of gambling were available to me. And at the time, I would say the most common available gambling form for me was online poker. So I got into poker a lot at the time. At the time, the World Series of Poker was pretty big in terms of popularity on ESPN. You saw the movie Rounders, a few years back, before that. And so kind of everything was coming full circle when Chris Moneymaker won the World Series and all of a sudden became a millionaire as a regular guy, trying to, just kind of make a few dollars playing some poker. So when I saw that, and I also learned how to play the game, I started playing with friends, I realized ultimately how easy it was for me, I thought, to master the game, whether it was the, let's say, the math portion of it, the probabilities, simply feeling like I could read people, or I just may have had some good luck early on. When I did ultimately get my first opportunity at a casino, I had success. I got opportunities to play, friendly games at, some home, friends' homes and stuff like that with their family members. Friendly games, but $20 per person turns into, $180, or even more when people rebuy. And so when I would win those, again, I thought, hey, what a great investment. What a great opportunity that I have right now to capitalize on this thing that I'm really good at, that I can make some money at. I just need a little bit more money to continue investing. And, I would ignore the losses when I would lose. And when I would lose, it would start at the casinos, because when you're playing with friends and people are drinking and they're making bad decisions, it's not the same as, playing maybe with, somebody who, somebody who, let's say, has a lot to lose, and takes it seriously, and is not drinking, and is not inebriated, and is looking to take all of your money. And, I took all these things as a challenge. I took everything as, hey, I'm, I could be, the next World Series of Poker winner. So I spent a lot of my early years after I turned 18, essentially gambling online and Poker Stars and Full Tilt Poker until I had access to more casinos once I turned 21 locally, which would have been things like, Commerce Casino or other local poker clubs in Southern California, poker or, card rooms, whatever you want to call them. So I had a lot of my time being put into a world of gambling, a world of poker that in my mind, I thought that was going to become profitable at some point, which, clearly wasn't a smart thing to do. It was also the same time where I started to gamble outside of my comfort zone when it comes to how much money I'm spending. It was also the time where, I overdrew for the first time ever. And, if you're not familiar with overdraft or overdrawing, it's basically taking money out of your account that you don't have, whether you're at zero or a certain amount of money, and the bank allows you to go, in this case, at a younger age, I was able to go something like $500, I think, for the first time. And I thought that by winning with the $500, I'd put it back, probably have some extra money to continue to play, and then, all would be good. The problem was, it wasn't as simple as that. Wins are not guaranteed. And I very early on learned what chasing losses really was. And whether it was just, hey, that wasn't my night, or I was making poor decisions, whatever the case was, as somebody who grew up being pretty competitive, which, I played sports, I was pretty good in school, I had a 3.5 GPA, I had got into college, a four-year university a year early, so I was somebody who was always competitive, always looking to win, always looking to have success. So it was very difficult to be able to take losses. Early on, I just simply couldn't accept the losses. At that same early age, you know, I had good credit. I had developed, you know, probably an array of credit cards that had some high limits. I'm not really sure why all these banks were willing to give me all this money when I didn't have really much income, but they gave me a lot of credit. And so at some point, you know, with the access to credit that I had to figure out, well, how do I get more money? How do I, you know, how do I get access to more money to continue to gamble, to be able to get back what I had just lost? And so, you know, when I had lost that first 500 that I overdrew, obviously I had some losses before that, but chasing a loss, you know, when you're down, and chasing the down number, is what drags all of us further into the hole. You know, if any of us, including myself, just can look at it and say, hey, you know what? We take this as a learning opportunity. This is a loss, and we move along. But unfortunately, that's not something that we do. It's not something that we're used to doing. It's not something that we're programmed to do. So it's one of those things where, you know, I overstepped my own boundaries. And then I began to cash advance my credit cards. I began to find other ways to obtain money using the assets that I had at the time, or what I consider assets. And, you know, and so, you know, I may, if I didn't have the ability to overdraft, I would have went and maybe bought something with my card from the store. Let's say I think I had a Best Buy credit card at the time, and I would buy an iPod. I think iPods were what we had at that time. I would buy an iPod or something like that, and then I would sell it to somebody for cash. And then I would take the cash, and I would go to the casino, and then I would use the cash to gamble, to again create that never-ending cycle of chasing my losses. But those losses continued, and the more I, you know, gave myself access to these funds, the more I put myself in a position where, you know, I was just not going to be able to recover. So being in a position where, you know, you're continuing to lose, as I did, and as I was losing, as I was doing these things, I was still going to school, I was still, you know, working, I was still doing most of the things that I was supposed to do. But at the same time, in school, I was also putting myself in a position where I missed some classes. And then because I missed those classes, I got a, you know, failing grade, which dropped my GPA, which then in turn pushed back, you know, a potential semester of graduation, or it just created more problems for myself. So, you know, gambling didn't give me anything positive. It just created a lot more work. But the entire time that I was dealing with this, I was also convincing myself that I was good at poker. I was good at, you know, Texas Hold'em. I was good at Omaha. I was good at, you know, whatever game that I happened to be playing at the time at that casino, or whatever the case was. But I was so intent on focusing on the wins and the great hands and the great outcomes that I ignored all the obvious negative, all the things that were not going well within that, you know, particular run of gambling, you know. But I had convinced myself at an early age, in my early 20s, that, you know, this was it. I could actually be great enough to make a whole lot of money and then somehow end up in the World Series of Poker and then become successful that way, you know. And between having access to PokerStars, between having access to Full Tilt Poker, I think another one was like Absolute Poker, something like that. But there were so many websites at the time in the United States. Now it's not legal to play online poker, but at the time it was. And it was easy to deposit money. It was easy to withdraw money. It was easy to do all things I needed to do. So in these early days of my gambling, you know, I learned a lot of things in terms of how to get more money, how to have more options of where I could gamble, how to play poker here, how to, you know, maybe, you know, maximize what I thought was my potential earnings on a certain website or a certain place or a certain time of gambling. I just thought I had it all figured out. But at the same time, is I just kept borrowing and I kept putting myself in position where I was maxing out credit cards with high interest rates that I could not keep up with the ultimate minimum payments. Minimum payments were so high, I was putting myself in a position where essentially and eventually everything charged off. All my credit, all the good stuff that I had built, my you know, decent scores. At the time, I think I had like a 700 score at a very early age, and I was doing pretty well, but I let it all go. And I put myself in a position where I began to borrow from people. So I'll stop episode 2 kind of at this point. And in episode 3, we'll jump into, you know, more of, you know, the borrowing, you know, where that really, really got started, some places where I've kind of had to move and, you know, for opportunities, you know, which may have impacted what I ended up doing ultimately gambling wise in the future as well. So I appreciate you guys sticking around. Make sure to hit that subscribe button. I'm going to add all these to a series and, you know, hopefully maybe you binge watch it. Maybe you watch them one by one. But if it helps you to hear somebody else's story and what they're going through, that's all that really matters. Definitely appreciate that.